Assalamu alaikum. The following is a recording of the Qalam Institute webinar on the Isra wal Mi'raj, the miraculous night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qalam is committed to provide podcasts, webinars, classes, and much, much more for the entire family for free. Find out how you can be part of our mission to enable as many people as possible to benefit from these resources at supportqalam.com.
Okay, bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I hope and pray inshallah everyone is well and that everyone has been benefiting and enjoying, benefiting from the program today and also been enjoying all the lessons, all the lectures, all the sessions from the different scholars and instructors at Qalam, alhamdulillah. I wanted to conclude the program here with the final session. And before I do so, before I delve into the final session of our webinar here on Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, I wanted to share a very brief word with everyone. Alhamdulillah, many of you who are watching and listening might already be familiar with Qalam. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Qalam is an organization that is focused on grounding people within the sacred sources of our religion, nurturing and developing spiritual Islamic growth within members of our community in a very loving and nurturing manner and fashion, following the prophetic precedent, the prophetic example of ta'lim, tarbiyah, and suhba, where we educate people, we develop people, and we mentor people so that each and every single member of our community becomes a practicing, informed, educated member of society and a beautiful representative of their faith, of their religion, of Islam, the Quran and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Qalam has been dedicated to this mission for over a decade, alhamdulillah. So if you are familiar with Qalam, you know this, and you've already been, you know, benefiting from all the resources that Qalam provides, whether it be the YouTube channel, or it be watching lives on Facebook and listening to the podcast, attending different webinars and lectures and sessions and workshops. And if you're not yet familiar with Qalam, maybe this is the first time that you're interacting with us here, you're tuning into this program, I invite you to come and benefit from the extensive and exhaustive resources that Qalam has available to you. No strings attached. Where we go live here on the YouTube channel 3 times a week, and we go live on Facebook multiple times a week. There are multiple sessions that are uploaded to the podcast every single week. There are thousands of hours of free, available, in-depth Islamic content, lectures, classes that you can follow. Right? Pace, you can self-pace your learning through the Qalam podcast. And you can go to our website, qalam.institute, where you can take just numerous courses that are available, that are free for kids, for teens, for adults, how to read the Quran, the meaning of the Quran, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to do tahara, how to pray, how to seek purification, how to perform your prayer, how to fast in the month of Ramadan, how to give your zakat. And the list goes on and on. So alhamdulillah, we're here basically to serve y'all and to make the learning of Islam easier and more accessible for everyone who's out there. And one more thing that I'd like to bring your attention to is if you've been watching this webinar and if you tuned in a little bit later, I encourage you to go back and watch the entirety of the webinar, which you'll be able to on the Qalam YouTube channel, on the Qalam Facebook page. Go back and, you know, watch the whole webinar. And you might not realize it while the program is flowing and the program is moving forward, but you will have heard from 10 different scholars, teachers, very highly qualified specialists of the religious sciences, of the Islamic sciences. You will have heard from Ustada Fatima, Ustada Atifa, Ustada Ubaidullah, Ustada Abdurrahman Murphy, Mufti Hussein Kamani, Sheikh Muntasir, Sheikh Mikael. You will have heard from all of them. And this is what we've been working so hard to do. To bring all these amazing people all together under one, you know, umbrella and create this very hardworking and very capable institution of learning. An institution of learning. And so, alhamdulillah, we are very grateful to Allah for the opportunity. We are very humbled by the opportunity to be able to serve Islam and serve the Quran and serve the legacy of the Prophet ﷺ and serve the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. So we are very happy and pleased and humbled to be at your service. And I ask you to join us in this mission and cause. You might be sitting there, you might be watching, you might be listening, you might be thinking, wow, that's really cool. It'd be really cool to do something like that. And you just don't have to wonder what it would feel like to be a part of something like that. I invite you to be a part of it. Go to supportqalam.com. Very simple, very easy. Supportqalam, Q-A-L-A-M.com. Go to supportqalam.com and contribute and donate and become our partners in this endeavor. Plant your seed today. Plant that tree today. You know, when Sheikh Muntasir was mentioning in his session, when the Prophet met the different prophets at the different stages of the heavens outside this worldly realm. And on the seventh station, he met the great prophet of God, the friend of Allah, Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam, his forefather, his ancestor. And when he met him, one of the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam said, he said, tell your followers that paradise, Jannah, turbatun tayyiba, turbatuha tayyiba, annaha qi'an. It's an open field. It's an open area, open land. As far as the eye can see, vast and open. وَتُرْبَتُهَا طَيِّبَةً But its soil is very fertile. It's ideal for planting and growing. So tell them to plant their trees in paradise. How? How can you do that? He said, tell them to do good deeds. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Do the dhikr of Allah. But the point I want to make is that you can plant your tree in paradise. You can have your sadaqah jariyah while you are already benefiting from all the work that is going on here at Qalam. You yourself can get a share of it and continue to benefit from it, not only in this dunya, but in the life of the hereafter. Insha'Allah binillah. Barakallahu feekum. I appreciate y'all's patience and for allowing me a few moments to be able to share that with you. I will move on now to the closing session of our webinar, our program here on Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the journey by night from Mecca to Jerusalem and the ascension above the heavens and beyond. So, Ustada Atifa led us all the way to this particular point where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the gift of the five times daily prayer, and he came back and basically started his return back, his journey back. Now, this is where things get very interesting. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is returning back, thumma rakiba munsarifan, as he is returning back to Mecca, مَرَّ بِعِيرٍ لِقُرَيْشٍ بِمَكَانِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. he passed by a caravan of the Quraysh that was in a particular area or region not far from Mecca. And there's a couple of different incidents. I'll talk about one particularly for the sake of time. So he passed by مَرَّ بِعِيرٍ قَدَ ضَلُّوا بَعِيرًا لَهُمْ, that he passed by this caravan, and this caravan was stalled in an area, kind of peculiar, and they were all kind of like running about, even though it was the middle of the night. Why? قَدْ ضَلُّوا بَعِيرًا لَهُمْ. They had lost one of their camels. Camel is not just, you know, just some random animal. Somebody might say, well, who cares if the camel wandered off? Like, what does it matter? No, that's their mode of transportation. And, but this was an Eid, which means that it was a caravan. And the caravans, like the Quran says, رحلت الشتاء والصيف, they would travel for the sake of business. This was their livelihood, that they were tradespeople. And so they would basically conduct business, take goods from the south to the north, from the north to the south, and etc. So now, I mean, that camel was there, it's lost, it's their mode of transportation. It probably was loaded up with a lot of their merchandise and a lot of their goods, and they can't find it. It's gone missing in the desert. That is very discerning. So they're running around and looking for it. And the Prophet ﷺ saw this. And then he said, and then he says that he saw where the camel was, because he had kind of the, you know, bird's eye view. He had an aerial view, right? Like when you see those drone shots, like he had that view. And so he saw that the camel was lost. They're looking for it, but he saw that the camel was somewhere else. So the Prophet ﷺ returns back to Mecca. It is right before Fajr time, the break of dawn, morning time. The Prophet ﷺ goes to the Haram, Al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca, the Kaaba, the Baytullah, house of God. He goes there and he sits down. And the Prophet ﷺ kind of has a little bit of a look on his face where he's deep in thought. He's really focusing. Why is he focusing? Because he's trying to think, how am I going to tell these people? Like, not that he had any doubt, but he's trying to figure out what's the right way to inform them of what just happened. That in one night, I went from Mecca to Jerusalem and then toured the heavens, saw paradise and hell, met with Allah himself, you know, met all the prophets of God, everything that transpired, and then came back home within the same night before Fajr. So how do I explain this to them? So he's sitting there thinking, and he's got that look on his face where he's focusing. فَمَرَّ عَلَيْهِ عَدُوُ اللَّهِ أَبُو جَهَلٍ, and none other than Abu Jahl. All right, for those who don't know, Abu Jahl was a leader of the Meccan people. He was a leader of his tribe, and he was a leader of the Quraysh, the people of Mecca. And he was the most vicious, the most nasty, the most negative of all the opponents of the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't believe. He objected. He resisted. But he went beyond that. He persecuted. He mocked and ridiculed, physically assaulted, and even murdered. He even murdered. He killed the very first person who gave their life for Islam, Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Ammar, the wife of Yasir, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. So he comes by and he says, you know, and he kind of engaged the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in conversation more so to mess with him. فَقَالَ لَهُ كَالْمُسْتَهَزِي. He said this mocking, wanting to mock the Prophet ﷺ. You know, when you fake, when somebody, a bad person would do this, but they fake like kind of interest, they feign interest only to basically ridicule and mock someone. So he did that. He said, Hal kana min shay? Is something going on? You look like you have that look on your face. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. He said, what is it? And he said, Usriya bi al-layla. He said, I traveled last night. إلى أين؟ Where did you go? إلى بيت المقدس. I went to Jerusalem. ثم أصبحت بين ظهراننا. Then you woke up here amongst us in Mecca. He said, yes. So he says, okay. Do you mind? Abu Jahl says. Look how evil this man is. Abu Jahl says, do you mind if I go and gather the people? If I get the people together? And then you can tell them all about it. And I'll be here. I'll back you up. The Prophet ﷺ knew Abu Jahl is not a good person, but the Prophet ﷺ wanted to take advantage of the opportunity, and Abu Jahl is hoping to make a mockery out of the situation. So the Prophet ﷺ says, sure, gather the people. So Abu Jahl's out there kind of gathering people, bringing people in. Come, listen, listen. He runs into Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the companion, the friend of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the first people to accept Islam. The first person, in fact, outside of his home. His family members were the first ones to become Muslim, Khadija and Ali and Zayd ibn Haritha. But the first person outside of the home was Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sees Abu Jahl and he says, man, this guy's probably up to no good. So Abu Jahl asks him, he said, do you know what your friend is saying? He said, what? Saying he went at night to Jerusalem and above the heavens and everything, and then came back within the same night. Abu Bakr said to Abu Jahl that if indeed he did say that, then yes, absolutely, I believe him. But I can't take your word for it because you're a bad person. You mock the Prophet ﷺ. So anyways, the people gather within the masjid. And then the Prophet ﷺ addresses them. And he tells them what you've heard over the last couple of hours. Tells them the whole story of what he experienced in Al-Isra wal Mi'raj. As he's telling them, some people start to, you know, become very disrespectful. They start to, فَمِن بَيْنِ مُصَفِّقٍ وَمِن بَيْنِ وَاضِعٍ يَدَهُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ مُتَعَجِّبًا. Right? وَضَجُّوا وَأَعْظَمُوا ذَلِكَ. Some people started clapping and some people started putting their hands on their head and being dramatic and being like, oh my God, listen to this guy. Some people started yelling and shouting and making noise. One person, Mutam bin Adi, who had in the past actually shown some sympathy towards the Muslims, he said some very disrespectful things to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I swear you're lying, and it takes us a month to go from Mecca to Jerusalem, and you're saying you went in one night. I swear on my idols, I don't believe you. And as soon as he said that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and he told Mutam bin Adi, watch yourself. You're being very disrespectful. You are insulting him. I testify that he speaks the truth. And the Prophet ﷺ tells them the whole story. So then they say, okay, you know what? There are some people, فِي الْقَوْمِ مَنْ سَافَرَ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. There are some people amongst us who have been to Jerusalem. There are some people here in Mecca, in this gathering, who have been to Jerusalem. صِفْ لَنَا بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ. Why don't you describe it to us? Tell us what you saw, what it looks like. If you're telling the truth. كَيْفَ بِنَاؤُهُ وَكَيْفَ هَيْئَتُهُ وَكَيْفَ قُرْبُهُ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. How does it look? How is it built? How is it structured? How is it laid out? Where are the mountains around it? Tell us the geography, the topography, the architecture, the design, the layout. Tell us this. Now, first of all, obviously, the Prophet ﷺ was there briefly in the middle of the night, and he was a little more preoccupied with something a little bit more important than studying the architecture. Right? He was only meeting all the prophets and messengers of God and leading them in prayer, as you heard beautifully from Sheikh Mikail. So, you know, the Prophet ﷺ wasn't there like a tourist. But nonetheless, the Prophet ﷺ tells him a little bit of what he, you know, recalled, some of his recollection. But then the Prophet ﷺ started to, you know, not remember more specific details. And then subhanAllah, as a miracle, as a gift from Allah, right? We've heard about so many gifts today, but Allah wasn't done giving. Allah was not done giving. One narration mentions that a little bit of ways away from the Prophet ﷺ is almost like a projection of Masjid Aqsa, the Aqsa compound, like a projection of it was there and he could see it. One narration even mentions that Jibreel alayhi salam came down and opened his wing, and on his wing there was basically like a projection of Aqsa. And Jibreel alayhi salam started to even point to different things on that projection of Aqsa. And so then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the narration mentions, he started, you know, looking at almost like he was counting. And then he said, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, there's 7 gates. And he started giving such specific detail because he's looking at it. Miraculously, he's looking at it. And he's giving so much detail, and every single detail he mentions, there's this many gates and there's this many windows and the mountains over here and it's laid out like this and there's a building. Every single detail he mentions, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu shouts, Sadaqta, 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 Sadaqta. You have spoken the truth. You have spoken the truth. You tell the truth. You have spoken the truth. Over and over he keeps saying that. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaims, "Anta Siddiq, you are a truthful believer. Your faith is true, ya Abu Bakr." And that's how we got the name Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the truthful one, because he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, in fact, someone asked him, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu kept saying sadaqta, sadaqta, someone said, أَفَتُصَدِّقُهُ أَنَّهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّيْلَةَ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ وَجَاءَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصْبِحَ. He said, you believe that he went to Bayt al-Maqdis and beyond and he came back, you know, even before the morning time? قَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes. وَإِنِّي لَأُصَدِّقُهُ فِيمَا هُوَ أَبْعَدْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. I even confirm him and affirm what he says in that which is even beyond what you've heard here today. أُصَدِّقُهُ بِخَبْرِ السَّمَاءِ فِي غَدْوَةٍ أَوْ رَوْحَةٍ. Every morning and every evening he tells me what God says. And I accept him and I believe him in that. So you're curious how I can believe what he's saying here? Really? You have no idea what faith is. What belief is, what iman is, right? Then doesn't end there. Then they say, "Akhbirna an eidina." They said, okay, so if you came back, left last night, came back last night, then we have a caravan that we've been expecting to arrive back any day now. You must have come across them, you must have seen them. So you flew on the Buraq. So can you tell us about our caravan? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, I can. أتيت على عير بني فنان بالروحاء. The caravan with such and such people, they were at the place of روحاء. قد ضلوا ناقة لهم. فانطلقوا في طلبها. That they had lost one of their she camels and they went about looking for it. They were running around in the middle of the night looking for their camel. That's mighty specific. So they say, okay. Next day or so, that caravan returns back, arrives back into Mecca. And as soon as it arrives, they rush up to the people in the caravan and they say, hey, where were you guys a couple of nights ago? And they say, we were at Roha. Look at each other. Oh no. And then they say, did anything eventful happen while y'all were there? And they said, yeah, actually, we lost one of our she camels. And they look at each other. Oh no. And the Prophet ﷺ had told them where they will find the she camel, because remember, he could see from the bird's eye view, the aerial view, he could see where the camel was lost. And then they said, where did you find it? And the Prophet, and then the caravan people tell them, we found it over here, exactly where the Prophet ﷺ said. And then they just looked at each other and they said, how about nobody ever talk about this ever again? Ajib. So strange. But that was the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was part of the aftermath of the journey of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. But it's not quite done yet. You heard quite a bit about prayer tonight. The five times daily prayer. The day the Prophet ﷺ got back that morning, later that day in Dhuhr prayer, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, gather your followers. And then the angel Jibreel alayhi salam led the Prophet ﷺ in prayer, demonstrating to him the timings and the procedures of the five times daily prayer. They started with Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Fajr of the next morning at the beginning of every prayer time. And then the second day, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Fajr of the third day, he demonstrated the end of each prayer time. And so that's called the Hadith Imamati Jibreel, the Hadith where Gabriel, the Archangel Gabriel, led the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, within the five day times daily prayer for 2 days in a row, demonstrating the timings and the procedures of the five times daily prayer. So that from that point on forward, praying five times a day was fully in practice. That's another huge part of the aftermath of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And you heard, as salatu mi'raj al-mu'min, it is the ascension of the believer. And there's a beautiful narration from Abdullah bin Abbas, Ibn Mar, the way he mentions that, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, كَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَمَ مُنْذُ أُسْرِيَ بِهِ رِيحُهُ رِيحُ عُرُوسٍ وَأَطْيَبْ مِنْ رِيحِ عُرُوسٍ. He says, from the very day that the Prophet ﷺ came back from the miraculous night journey of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, from that day on forward, that he just had this natural fragrance that was more amazing than the most remarkable perfume that you've ever come across, that even a groom, you know, like the most amazing perfume, if you could apply it, if you could get the occasion in your life where you'd want to get it is your wedding. But Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, think of the most amazing perfume, cologne, scent, itar, that any groom has ever had. The natural fragrance physically of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more amazing than that. And that happened ever since he came back from al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, because he was in the company of God. And while we physically can go to where he went, we can spiritually connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day, five times a day when we pray. And, you know, there's so much more that can be said. I'll kind of conclude and end by just reciting reading some of the couplets from some of the poetry that has been written about the Prophet ﷺ, Buwaisiri and others that have written about the Prophet ﷺ and the journey of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, where he says, وَلَهُ الشَّفَاعَةُ وَالْوَسِيلَةُ فِي غَدٍ وَمَقَامُهُ السَّامِي عَلَى الشُّفَعَاءِ وَيَجِيءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَمَا قَدْ قَالَهُ أَنَا رَاكِبٌ وَالرُّسُلُ تَحْتَ لِوَائِي وَلَقَدْ دَنَا مِنْ رَبِّهِ لِمَا دَنَا وَلَمَّا دَنَا فِي لَيْلَةِ الْمِعْرَاجِ وَالْإِسْرَاءِ سَمِعَ الْخِطَابَ بِحَضْرَةٍ قُدْسِيَّةٍ مَا حَلَّهَا بَشَرٌ مِنَ الْعُظَمَاءِ. Another poem, it says about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, سَرَيْتَ مِنْ حَرَمٍ لَيْلًا إِلَى حَرَمِي كَمَا سَرَى الْبَدْرُ فِي دَاجٍ مِنَ الظُّلَمِ وَبَتَّ تَرْقَى إِلَىٰ أَنْ نِلْتَ مَنْزِلَةً مَنْ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ لَمْ تُدْرَكْ وَلَمْ تُرَامِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attained a position and status that no one before him had ever attained, and no one after him will ever attain. But through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were all honored. And we were all blessed on that night. For we are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we stand up and pray 5 times a day. With that, I'd like to conclude tonight's program and tonight's webinar. As I said before, I pray once again that this was beneficial and that this was enjoyable for you, your friends, your family, for anyone who is in your life that you care about that wasn't able to attend and listen and benefit. Send this to them. Share it with them. The recordings will be on our YouTube channel, on the Qalam Facebook page. So share it with them, inshallah. And I want to remind everyone to, again, go to supportqalam.com and support our programs. And lastly, if I may, I want everyone to circle a date on your calendar, April the 10th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be the Saturday before the start of the month of Ramadan. April the 10th. We haven't released the information on purpose because we didn't want to be, we didn't want to be informing people of two separate dates and two separate programs and people get confused. So we wanted to conclude with this program. So inshallah, very soon, in the next couple of days, we'll be sharing the information for April the 10th, which is going to be our Ramadan prep workshop. All of the instructors you heard from today are going to be back. But they're going to be teaching you some very beneficial things to have the best Ramadan possible. Fiqh of fasting. Fiqh of zakat. Right? How to build a relationship with the Quran in Ramadan. How to make dua in Ramadan. How to do your taraweeh in Ramadan. How to maintain your prayers in the month of Ramadan. And a whole lot more stuff, inshallah. It's going to be very, very beneficial. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. I'll conclude with a very short, brief dua because we've gone over time and I appreciate y'all's patience and attentiveness. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wal aqibatil muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahdina wa hdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husn ibadatik. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha wa ajinna min khizyid dunya wa adhabil akhirah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabal nar. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. We ask that Allah accept, we ask that Allah guide us all, and we ask that Allah give us the ability to practice everything that was said and heard tonight. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.